Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a fan favorite restaurant makes its way back to downtown Disney, a popular event is returning to Disneyland, and which one of us auditioned for Knott's Halloween Haunt and made it. Plus, a little bit later on, break out the pumpkin theme puns. It's time for our second annual Halloween Spooktacular. So it's time for our Halloween tale to begin. There's no turning back now. Please come all the way in. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 23 for the week of September 24th, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Karis, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/CARISS-MILANO. Welcome, everybody, to the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. And this week, I am joined by associate producer and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Good morning, or afternoon.
Or whenever you may be listening. We're recording this on Sunday morning. Alternate John and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, John Strotman. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, thank you. Awesome. And our Disney historian and author of Skipper Stories, Dr. David Marley. Hello, David. Welcome back.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
All right. So welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody's had a great week off. We're getting into the last, we have reached the end of summer, right? Everybody knows yesterday was the first day of fall.
Yes.
It's very sad.
Yes, I'm wearing my fall colors and I did my fall nail art.
Oh, very good.
Me too.
Disneyland has had their, actually all of the theme parks have had their Halloween decorations up.
Since August.
Far too long.
That's a thing. So this week we are going to, I was hoping to hold off until October, but literally every other media outlet out there has been doing Halloween stuff. So I said, well, we can't delay it. And I was hoping to wait until at least halfway through October. So this week we are getting into our Halloween Spooktacular along with the news. And you're going to find out which one of us went out and auditioned for Knott's Berry Farm Halloween Haunt and actually got cast. And we're going to hear that tale a little bit later on. I just want to point out a couple of things in old business because we have got a jam-packed show coming up for you. Giveaway announcement. So in addition to our prize pack, we've got our prize pack going out there. I haven't made any additions to it, but I wanted to remind everyone that to enter our giveaway for our one-year anniversary podcast, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and share your favorite YouTube video in a post on social media, or you can go on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and you can tag at Vacationland Theme Park Podcast in any post, or you can copy a screenshot. I'm going to make a post later on this week, and you can copy the paste that, screenshot that, and tag Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. So just a reminder of the prizes. We have the Hello Kitty Jurassic Park coaster that I picked up at Universal Studios, and that video is coming soon. I've been really busy. We're going to be releasing our video of our farewell to the Jurassic Park ride, which has been walled up. I don't know if anybody's seen the photos of that, but it's closed and it's dry and it's walled up. We have the Snoopy birthday ears and we have a signed copy of what, David, I butchered the name last week. What is the name of the book officially?
Skipper Stories.
Skipper Stories.
True Tales of Disneyland's Jungle Cruise.
Right. So it's written by David Marley, a historian and former Jungle Cruise skipper. And
the title makes it sound like it's scary. The True Tales.
It was originally called The Fake Tales. That didn't work as well.
And you're working on a new one, right?
Yeah, new one will be out this November.
How's that coming along?
It's called More Skipper Stories.
Yeah.
It's coming along really well. I'm almost done. My hard drive froze up yesterday and thought I lost everything.
Oh, God.
But the guy at the Apple store spent an hour working on it and saved everything.
Oh, my.
So the book is, it's still on track. It's going to be, it's a lot
the
of fun.
The book still exists.
Some legitimate Disney legends in this one. It's a lot of fun.
That's great. That's cool. And I'm going to make an announcement right now. David and I are working on a different podcast. I won't say exactly what it is, but we are working on expanding our offerings here. And so it's going to be something I think that our listeners will really enjoy, that it's going to fit right into me and David's expertise.
So, something horrible to say.
It's
edit that out.
All right. We may keep that. Who knows? So that's going to be something to look forward to coming up. Like I said, a new show that we're going to expand our offerings here at the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. Also, Brandis and John and I have tickets to the buffet.
Yay!
When are we going?
Wait, like the actual date?
Yeah, when are we going?
Huh?
Saturday.
Saturday. All right.
Yeah.
Saturday. That was it. That wasn't a trick question.
Like, are you going to, like, you're giving too much away to our stalkers?
No, I know, right? All 24 of them. But yeah, so we're going to be going to Halloween Haunt. We're going to do the buffet. And what are you looking forward to most?
The new mazes. Oh, and the new scare zone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it's a haunted lake.
It's under Silver Bullet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, super excited. And I mean, yeah, free food. It's not free food, but it's like all you could eat food.
Right.
And contrary to what people believe, I eat a lot.
Brandis is that person we all love to hate who can eat whatever she wants and still stays incredibly thin. So thanks a lot for that. All right. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do a little vlog maybe on the buffet. We're going to definitely do a vlog on the buffet, and we may do a little vlog on our adventures around Not Scary Farm.
I wonder if they'll let us record walking through a maze.
They do.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Just
that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've seen lots of videos of them online. Me too.
Right. So we'll take a look at that. We have all of that information about the new mazes and the different scare zones coming up, later on in the show for our Halloween spooktacular. All right. Well, that's it for old business. I think we're going to hop right into park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Here to kick us off with park hopping is we're going to mix it up a little bit this week. John, what's going on at Downtown Disney?
Well, the Earl of Sandwich returns to Downtown Disney on David's happy. I'm sure a lot of people are.
That is fantastic news.
The Earl of Sandwich was the undisputed ruler of the sandwich world.
I give you peanut butter and banana. Bologna. Club sandwich.
Why is there bread in the middle?
Silence!
On September 14th, the Disneyland Resort announced that the Earl of Sandwich will be opening in its original location for a limited time in Downtown Disney District at the Disneyland Resort. The popular fast casual restaurant inspired by John Montague, Earl, who invented the sandwich in 1762, will be returning soon. Get ready to enjoy all your favorites from their famous hot sandwiches and artisan breads to handcrafted wraps and a variety of freshly tossed salads. The website of the Earl of Sandwich's parent company has just posted numerous job openings for its location in Downtown Disney. Amy Sadowski, spokeswoman for the Planet Hollywood chain, which owns the 32-restaurant Earl of Sandwich brand, confirmed the move but had no other immediate details. "Obviously, we're thrilled to be coming back," she says. The adjacent Disneyland Hotel just closed in Tangora Terrace Restaurant until January for remodeling, and the company also plans to shutter its White Water Snack Shop at Disney's Grand California Hotel beginning on September 24th for renovation.
Don't worry, David, it's just temporarily.
But still, that's where we go for our snacks.
It's in the title.
It's our favorite secret spot to eat at the parks is White
Water. I love White Water Snacks. Yeah. It may be the best, like, quick service fast food.
I've never been. Give me the breakdown of.
So it's over. It's in the pool bar. It's essentially the pool snack area. It's over at California Adventure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they've just got really good.
But part of it's open under the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, so you can see into DCA while you're eating.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's got a good selection of food, but it has like, you can get free drink refills, and it's nice tables, and it's never super crowded.
Free drink refills at any theme park is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And when it's hot outside, it's like super air conditioned there, and it's really calm. And if you want to sit outside, it's really cool. The food that they have there is really good. They've got some nachos and stuff that they load up with, you know, chicken or pork. Yep. Or
nachos are great. The hot dog is great.
We should make nachos for dinner tonight.
Okay. But that's a good, so it's coming back. Okay.
All right.
That's the important thing.
Let's see if it tells us anything here. Let's see. Okay, so the Earl of Sandwich, Rainforest Cafe, and ESPN Zone, along with the AMC Theater, is closed in June to make way for new upscale hotel that Disney planned to build on their footprint. However, the hotel plans were thrown into limbo after a dispute with the city of Anaheim over expected tax subsidies for the hotel. Disney officials couldn't provide an immediate timeline for the restaurant to reopen, but it could be as early as October 1st. Other closed restaurants are unlikely to reopen, however, because their fixtures have been sold or donated to charity.
Like the ESPN Zone. They literally auctioned off everything in the ESPN Zone to the highest bidder.
Did they really?
And then gave the rest of it to, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and different, you know, kids charities like the
So they gave their scraps tables that they couldn't make money from and acted like it was charity.
Well, they were, I mean, they gave them, no, actually they gave them stuff like
TVs and stuff, right?
TVs and the air hockey tables. And
there you go.
So, I mean, there wasn't, I'll be honest with you, there wasn't much left up there when the last time I went. Huh. So, then everything else is just like, you know, fixtures and furnishings. It's just tables and chairs and, you know, these restaurant suppliers come in. Buy all that stuff.
You know how the kids love those tables and chairs.
I mean, you know, air hockey table or like, you know,
crazy with some of those tables.
A four top. So,
yeah. I mean, their screen, their TVs though were like epically huge, right?
Yeah, there were some, I mean, that place was full of TVs.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else, John?
Yeah, a little tip in the end here. The shell of the Earl of Sandwich restaurant is still in its old location at 1565 South Disneyland Drive. That's the address listed for the jobs available. No opening date has been released for the return of Earl of Sandwich. Stay tuned to our site, Twitters, Facebook, YouTube, for more Downtown Disney and Disneyland updates. So if you're looking for a gig there.
You will hear me yell.
So David, why are you so excited that this is coming back?
Earl of Sandwich is a fantastic place to eat. If you are a listener who's down in Orlando, there's one at Disney Springs, and it's definitely worth it. I'm a kind of picky food person. I don't have a huge palate. But my wife loves it, and she likes food, and I love it. Mm-hmm. And they have sandwiches that are like that they kind of grill for you. It's just, it's so good. Their Italian sandwich is just fantastic. When I taught a history of Disneyland class, I brought the whole class to Disneyland, and I made them go there for lunch. And none of them had been there. And a bunch of them have posted pictures of them going back. They love it. It's just a really good food.
Yeah, it's in the story. My favorite place to eat down there is Tongariro Terrace. You know, that's a great little place to sit.
I love their breakfast.
Yeah.
And I thought they were going to I just had this confirmed. I thought they were going to, when they closed Tongariro Terrace, that they were going to expand Trader Sam's bar.
They're going to build an outside bar.
Yeah.
And so you can order drinks, Trader Sam's drinks from outside
Expanding Trader Sam's at all.
No, they're not expanding it at all.
Because why expand the most popular place in the hotels?
Well, I think,
why have room for more people?
If you look at what was there, do you remember the Lost Bar?
Yeah.
Like that place was huge.
It
had seating outside for maybe 50 people, then it had seating inside for maybe another 50, 75 people.
Yeah.
Like my problem with Trader Sam's is that, and Tongariro Terrace is that they're seating for like maybe 100 people total, and it's super popular. So I don't know if they were intentionally trying to size it down
I confirmed that with one of my interviews for my next Skipper Stories book that they thought that all tiki bars tend to be small and intimate and that's the look, and so that's what they went for.
Right.
And I said, yeah, but it's too small. Like the last three times I've tried to go, I've left without ordering a drink because it's just so crowded.
If you get there right, I mean, it's really funny to get there right at 11, you know, when they open.
That's when alcoholics get there.
I mean,
and I've done it.
So, some of us get up really early. We're not alcoholics. We've just been up for a while.
It's not.
You got to tell yourself.
Question: are you allowed to get into Disneyland if you are drunk?
I mean, if you're asking if I've done it before.
Well, I mean, are they going to stop you at the gate?
It's like anything else. It's like,
I've seen people escorted out for being drunk.
Well, yeah, it also depends like how drunk are you? You know, are you, you know, feeling good? you know, kissing Mickey drunk, or are you, you know, sloppy falling off the second story of the boathouse?
Or are you at the next phase where you're mad at Mickey?
Yeah.
Kissing Mickey's an official level of drunk now. We need to have the...
No, I was just going to say, don't kink shame.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like anything. You know, I've seen people, I mean, I've, you know, I go to football games. I've walked into the Coliseum just three sheets to the wind before, you know, and, you know, I can maintain even when I'm really drunk. If you're one of those people that can't maintain, yeah, you know, they're not going to.
I can't maintain.
Yeah, we know.
I'm currently hungover.
I actually, when I am drunk, I don't know if I'm maintaining or not, so I don't know.
I can vouch for this. She's not maintaining. She at all. You'll know when she's drunk, like a million miles away.
That's what my wife would say about me.
And her voice gets so loud.
I've drunk. I
work with kids. I have to have a loud voice.
Through various things that David and I have done, I've had the experience of having drinks with him over the course of several hours. I can confirm that Deb is absolutely right Jim. So, all right. Well, that's enough drunk talk. Let's move on to our last news story. David, what's coming back to the Disney? What else is coming back to the Disneyland Resort?
All right. As a cast member, this was one of my favorite events to work. Gay Days are coming back to Disneyland in October. It's the official, unofficial Gay Day celebration is scheduled to take place from Friday, October 5th to Sunday, October 7th in and around the Anaheim Resort. It's the 21st year of the event, and there will be people attending the theme parks from all around the world wearing red t-shirts to show their solidarity. Disneyland doesn't encourage or discourage these events organized by outside groups, and they'll be held alongside regular visitors. And there's all kinds of events. Starting on Friday, there's an official welcome reception center at the Grand Californian Hotel that's free. Go by and say hi. There's going to be an outdoor free movie. They're showing Hocus Pocus.
Ah.
People love that movie.
I don't get it.
I don't. Thank you. I don't get it.
I've actually never watched it.
If that's your thing, it's fun.
It's funny. I mean, it's great. I just don't understand the obsession with it. I really don't.
And how it relates to Gay Days and Disneyland, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Bette Midler.
You think you...
Oh,
so?
Bette Midler, yeah.
I thought you'd show Top Gun. That would be more...
Huh. Well, again, there's Sarah Jessica Parker back when she had Sex in the City. A lot of my gay friends loved her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, there's a whole show in Disney World. Like for their Halloween parties, they have a whole Hocus Pocus show that they do.
Is that a Disney film? Hocus Pocus?
It was a Disney film, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know. She shows you what I know. Why am I even talking? And then Saturday, October 6th is the official Gay Day from 8 a.m. to midnight. And you can meet the Mark Twain at 11. And there's all kinds of scavenger hunts. There's lunch. At 1 p.m., they're meeting at the Enchanted Tiki Room for a hula sing-along. And as a former Jungle Cruise skipper and Disneyland cast member, I've interviewed maybe 100 Jungle Cruise skippers, and I ask them about their favorite holiday. And including myself, most skippers say working Gay Day was one of their favorite days.
It was such a fun.
So much fun.
So much, you know what it is? It's so much positivity in the air that day.
Yes. And so if you're listening and you're going to go, if you're gay, wear a red shirt. I guess if you're gay friendly, you could wear a red shirt.
It says in support. So yeah,
yes.
If you're
solidarity.
If you're gay or supporting gays, wear a red shirt.
Wear a red shirt. I always post on my Facebook page and I would tell my students, hey, if you wear a red shirt to Disneyland this weekend, you get $5 off all of your meals. And students would come back and they'd be angry. Cause I'm all about showing
love. My personal favorite was when, I was a cast member, Gay Days took place right when the Angels were, the Anaheim Angels were in the middle of the World Series. And so, one of the Saturdays, I think the Angels were actually playing a game, you know, at Anaheim Stadium in the World Series. And it happened to coincide the same weekend with Gay Days, and somebody forgot to give the dads that were wearing their Angel shirts the memo that day.
So, oh, that's awesome. Well,
But for all my LGBTQ people out there who are listening, if you're going to Gay Days, do yourself a favor and do the cast members a favor and go on the Jungle Cruise, because skippers love Gay Day. So go take a big group and get on a boat. I loved it. Almost every skipper I interviewed did. So that's fun.
That was awesome. I just want to say, if there's anybody listening who is opposed to Gay Day and is thinking of boycotting Disney as a Southern California resident, I welcome it.
Because there's just fewer people.
Less crowds.
Yeah, it's less crowds.
Boycott Disney.
It's a little bit like Mother's Day and Super Bowl Sunday, where people think, oh, it can't possibly be that crowded. And then it is. And it's always so. But I just, like I said, I love the positivity and it's such a great environment. I know a lot of people use it as a safe place to reveal to their friends and family, you know, hey, this is who I am. And yeah. I think that that's, that yeah. Disney doesn't officially sponsor, but Disney doesn't officially endorse a lot of things like Dapper Day or, you know, Bats mm-hmm. Day. So they just kind of.
In the 90s, there was Goth Day.
Yeah, but
there still
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
There still is.
There still is.
Goths, like.
And if you want to have fun with one of your very, very homophobic friends, just tell him to wear a red shirt on October 5th and he gets 10% off every restaurant. And then just, then that's his problem. It'll be fun. He'll have a good time. He'll learn something.
Why would you have a homophobic friend though?
I think everybody probably does.
Yeah. You might not even know it.
Yeah. They probably just keep it quiet. Or they don't.
Or they've got that. Never mind. We're going to keep moving right along.
You don't want to put too much emphasis on it because then they'll check the internet and then they'll find out and then it's a...
We have gone off the rails here. All right. So let's move on. No, it's okay. That's what editing's for. Let's move on. And this is actually moving really quickly. This is moving on a lot faster than I thought it was going to. But we are going to get into our Halloween spooktacular. It is the end of September. Yesterday was the first day of fall. Most of the theme parks have their Halloween decorations up for several weeks now. So we thought we would get into what is some of the offerings. I know we've been talking a lot about Halloween here on the show and offering you bits and little pieces and stuff of it. But we wanted to get into some of the actual offerings and talk about really in depth on some of the mazes, some of the new things that are coming, some of the food that is coming to the theme parks. There's going to be a lot of good food coming along. So I think we're going to get into this by starting off with Brandis, and she's going to tell us what's going on for Halloween at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Before I get into that, I do want to mention that Not Scary Farm actually started this week.
And so did Halloween Haunt.
Yeah. So that's why all the Halloween decorations are up. It just opened before even October, which I appreciate because the tickets are cheaper and the crowds are less.
Right.
Okay. Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights serves up a taste of the Upside Down inspired by Netflix Stranger Things. As we've discussed in detail, this year's offerings and mazes will include Stranger Things, Okay, sorry, I did not see the colon there. Let me read that again.
All right.
As we've discussed in detail, this year's offerings and mazes will include Stranger Things. Netflix's critically acclaimed series comes to life for the first time in an all-new maze featuring the Upside Down and predatory Demogorgon.
Demogorgon.
Thank you. One of you should read this. Poltergeist, inspired by MGM's iconic supernatural horror film, characterized as one of the scariest movies of all time. I disagree with that, but moving on. Universal Monsters, a contemporary twist on Universal's original cinematic Monsters, featuring an original score produced and composed by Grammy Award-winning musician Slash. Trick or Treat, based on the legendary Pictures cult Halloween classic movie directed by Michael... It was Dougherty or Dougherty?
I think it was Dougherty.
We discussed this.
Yeah, we talked about this and we still never got the answer.
The First Purge, inspired by Universal's blockbuster thriller franchise where all crime is legal for 12 hours. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. The iconic slasher is back in an all-new maze based on the classic Halloween franchise. The Horrors of Blumhouse?
Blumhouse.
The Horrors of Blumhouse, Chapter 2. A killer maze that unites two hit movies produced by Jason Blum, Blumhouse Truth or Dare and Unfriended. Okay.
I have not heard of either one of those movies.
Unfriended and it looked really lame.
Oh, wait, I did hear of Unfriended. It's like that commercial with the two little old ladies. It's like, you know, I'm taking you off my wall. Or have you seen that commercial? That's not how this works.
That's a great commercial. For like progressive insurance or something.
Yeah, I think so.
That's not how it works. That is an adorable commercial.
That's what I think of when I think of that movie, Unfriended. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
The Walking Dead, Universal Studios Hollywood's permanent attraction, inspired by AMC's record-breaking television series. When I'm done with this, I want to go back to The Walking Dead to discuss.
Let's discuss it now, because I am ready for The Walking Dead to be over.
So, it's the permanent attraction. So, are they not going to make it more scary? Because that thing isn't scary at all.
I have not been in it ever. And I mean, I'm a big Walking Dead fan. When I first started watching season 4 or 5, and I just binged the whole thing. But I've never... I mean, what is it like?
It's like a tunnel that you just walk
through,
right?
You're walking through. Okay, so yeah, you're just walking through kind of like maybe a fun house, but without like the mirrors and tricky floors and stuff.
Did you ever do like the monsters one that was in there before? No. Okay, yeah.
So yeah, so you're just walking through and all the zombies are behind chain link fences. So there's nothing scary about that. It's not like at Not Scary Farm where they're jumping out at you. And they might touch you, or
they might. Maybe they might. I'm thinking they might put some extra actors or something in there, because the old classic, you know, Universal Monsters, and then it used to be the Mummy. There's always been some sort of like scare attraction there. They've moved the entrance. It used to be right off of the front of the park walkway, and so they've moved it around the corner. But I think, I don't know if they've changed the inside of it, because it used to be huge inside. But I'm thinking maybe they might put some actors, or they might put some things in there, because the old Universal Monsters and the Mummy one used to have like things that would, you know, people that would jump out at you. But yeah, I know they made a huge deal about it when they opened it.
Yeah, I was just really disappointed when I went in it. Like, I thought, oh, yay, like Not Scary Farm, but with, you know, in summer. And no, it was so lame.
Are you a Walking Dead fan?
I watched the first couple seasons, but it was too unrealistic. Nobody could tell me how zombies continue living without calories, or there wasn't. I know this sounds really bad.
She doesn't accept that answer.
It's just zombies.
There's zombies, man.
But nothing could move without energy. It's basic physics.
Except for zombies.
Nothing defies physics.
Except, as a doctor, I can officially say, except for zombies. There we go.
You are not a doctor of physics. You're a doctor of history.
Which is, you know.
Similar
in that it's both doctors. So it's as a doctor, yeah. I can
legitimately.
At my daughter's school, they said that they sent home a memo that said if you want to get your daughter or child out of PE, it must have a medical doctor's note. And medical was written large and bold. And I was personally offended at that.
I can't imagine why they would write that.
I was personally offended.
Well, probably to stop the nutritionalists that call themselves doctors and then prescribe you garlic to.
Any note I write is a doctor's note by definition.
There we go.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
Still, nobody could tell me how zombies move without energy.
We're getting way too into The Walking Dead here. I'm a big Walking Dead fan. After this, I'm just done. I'm done with it. Yeah.
I read the comics for years and years before the show started.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's none of the original. There's none of the original cast left after Rick Grimes is done this year. I'm just, it's done. Okay. So let's move on. Let's continue on with the Universal Dog.
Okay. So we just have like two more. Okay, Terror Tram. Hollywood Harry's Dreamtime Stories. Stories with a Z for some reason. The notorious...
That's what makes it cool.
Because it's zombies.
The notorious serial killer clown that terrorized Universal's famed back lot returns as the host of this year's Terror Tram. Jabberwockies.
Anything's better than Jimmy Fallon.
Oh. And that's true in every single instance. Zombies, like, better than Jimmy Fallon.
It's a bad rap.
Zombie Jimmy Fallon, better than Jimmy Fallon.
That may be.
Jabberwockies, the award-winning hip-hop dance crew returns. Tickets can be purchased at they could be purchased at hollywood.halloweenhorrornights.com. Advance purchase is recommended as event nights will sell out following our various ticket options. All new Rest in Peace tour. You want me to really go over all this?
Just get to hit the highlights, because we actually got it wrong on our last show.
Hit the highlights. Okay. All new Rest in Peace tour. Groups of up to 12 can scare in style with an all new Rest in Peace tour featuring exclusive experiences with a VIP guide, trolley transportation, valet parking, a gourmet buffet dinner, and drinks plus unlimited Universal Express privileges to mazes and attractions. After 2 p.m. day-night combo, experience the park's popular attractions by day and remain for the terror that awaits you by night. Cost is $99 to $139 for that one. I want that one. Okay.
I think that's an addition to buying your ticket.
Oh.
And we'll go over that in corrections and attractions later.
Oh. I want that. Okay. Multi-night pass options. Frequent fear pass. Visit up to 21 select nights. $169. Okay, so do we want to now go over the food stuff, or?
Yeah, let's do a little bit of the food stuff, because I mean, that's really why I'm here. Fortunately, we've all had breakfast this morning, so we won't do our normal routine, and David is not.
I have not had breakfast.
You can't have real food right now.
That sausage is basically just sitting there taunting me.
I know, right?
It's cruel. It's mean-spirited to have food out right before I can see it.
That's it.
Okay, so. Here's what guests can expect to feast on during Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. Benny's Burgers, the classic burger aptly named after the show's family-owned diner, featuring a juicy beef burger. Juicy. You hear that, Dave? Juicy.
I do. Sounds good.
Juicy beef burger served on a potato roll and a side of tater tots. That's the upside down burger served upside down. Huh. The signature burger features spicy queso and flaming hot Cheetos served on a potato roll with lettuce, tomato, and a side of tater tots. Is it like literally upside down?
Yeah, it's served upside down.
That is crazy.
Like, how does it stand up?
I don't. And all that means to me is that the top is going to disintegrate faster than the bottom. Like, yeah. You know, the bottom of the bun is never quite
as good. Is that served in Australia? Because it's upside down? It's
in the
edit that out, please. That was really stupid.
Nope, that one stays.
That stays in. Darn it. No one to blame but
so
myself.
So, like, how do they make it stand up, though?
It's
probably in, like, a little...
Yeah, it's in a little...
tray thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can figure it out. With everything they can do with movies... They can figure this burger thing out.
Benny's Chicken and Waffle Sandwich, drizzled with sage maple aioli. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And topped with sweet and sour onions, lettuce, and tomatoes. This grilled chicken sandwich is served on iconic Kellogg's Eggo waffles with a side of tater tots. Demogorgon.
You not watch Stranger Things?
I thought you watched it with us. Me.
You watch things without me, and then I come in the middle.
Oh.
We need to discuss this later. Okay. Demogorgon?
Demogorgon.
Sure, Tacho.
Tacho.
Why'd you give me everything I can't read today? Demogorgon?
Because it's fun.
Tacho. A twist on the classic nacho. This dangerously delicious snack piles up tater tots doused in spicy queso, chili flaming hot Cheetos, sour cream, and scallions. Eleven's Waffle Extravaganza, inspired by the lead protagonist's favorite food, this tasty treat mixes Reese's Pieces, jelly beans, chocolate chips, and whipped cream stacked high on three Kellogg's Eggo waffles. Additional treats will be served throughout the theme park, including mini meatball subs, loaded mac and cheese, and stir-fry noodles, as well as voodoo donuts. For more information to purchase tickets, we already covered where to go purchase tickets.
Yeah, so I just want to say, go on record as saying we got hosed as far as food goes. Universal Studios Orlando, I was reading through the Universal Studios information in the press releases, and Universal Studios Orlando got a lot more stuff. Like, they're just in general, their offerings over on that side of the country are way more diverse, and there's a lot more food offerings. Like, we have the voodoo donuts and we have the upside down burger, but they just got like this whole list of food. But
I want to make an observation on this menu. It's so they have one of them, it specifically says the Benny's Chicken and Waffle is served on Kellogg's Eggo waffles, but then 11's Waffle Extravaganza does not mention
some generic waffle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Well Waffle.
Yeah.
It's Kroger brand waffle. You know, and this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. A couple of weeks ago when we did the story on, you know, the new food items from inspired by Stranger Things coming, I said it's going to be a lot of waffles and, you know, cereal. And that's exactly what it is. But, you know, I'll give it a try. I might go to the, Erin is at, Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights this weekend. And so when she comes in the next time, we will ask her what she thought of this year's event. My friend went a couple of days ago, like maybe opening weekend, I think last weekend was opening weekend, and he went and he said it was just insanely busy, and it was a lot of lines down on the lower lot, and he took a couple of pictures, and it just looked, he said everything was, you know, nothing less than 2 hour wait, and he didn't think it was all that great, and he's a big fan of Halloween Horror Nights, and he is just maybe taking next year off and going to Halloween Haunt or something, because he said it was just crazy, insane busy. The Terror Tram is fun. The Terror Tram is awesome, because what they do is they take you about halfway down into the back lot, and then you kind of just, you walk the rest of the way. So the second half of the Terror Tram is actually walking the back lot at Universal Studios Hollywood, which is, you know, every movie fan's dream. So, you know, I'm glad they got rid of Chucky. Chucky was the host before, you know, but still better than Jimmy Fallon.
Much better than
Jimmy. Do they have like people walking around scaring you like they do at Not Scary Farm?
Yeah, they have chainsaws and people
popping
out.
It's just
zombies.
When it's that crowded and there's a break in the scares, it ruins the feel and the fun.
Yeah. Well, what it is they do like one, and that's a super long wait, because what they do is they take one tram and they, you know, it's like, oh, the tram broke down and now you're going to have to walk all the way back. And so they manage to pace it so that it's, you know, at least a little, not individualized, but they manage to pace it so that it's a good, you know, amount of people that, and they'll have a chance to clear out, and, you know, then the next tram will come in and break down. And so you walk through the big airplane movie, War of the Worlds set.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a blog about all that. Like, obviously didn't show them waiting in line, but
right.
It looked like they really stepped up their game though. Like,
yeah.
Walkthroughs, it looks pretty intense.
So I'd like to know if anyone goes there and needs this chicken and waffle sandwich. I make breakfast sandwiches using Eggo waffles, and it doesn't hold up too well as an egg McMuffin, or I mean a English muffin would. So I want to know how they're piling on lettuce and tomato and sauces and chicken, and how's it going to hold up? Are they getting a special Eggo waffle? Is it like extra thick?
That's a good question. Cause you know, like chicken and waffles from, you know, chicken and waffle place, they're usually pretty thick.
Yeah. They're like Belgian style.
Yeah.
I don't know that Eggo does it Belgian style.
That's a lot of toasters.
All
right. Well, thank you, Brandis. I'm actually going to take the next one, continuing on our Halloween spooktacular. I'm going to be talking about the offerings coming to the Disneyland Resort and SeaWorld. So the seasonal attractions at Disneyland Park and Disneyland California Adventure Park will run from September 7th through October 31st and feature Halloween-themed decor and food and beverage offerings, plus encounters with Disney villains and happy haunts. New this year is the appearance of Vampirina from the Disney Channel and Disney Junior series Vampirina. That makes sense. Also known as V. Vampirina will greet visitors at Disney California Adventure Park and also be featured during the Frightfully Fun Parade at Mickey's Halloween Party. And this Wednesday, I will be at Mickey's Halloween Party along with our vlog star Karen. The separate ticket event, Mickey's Halloween Party, will return this year and has actually just announced that all of the dates up to Halloween for Mickey's Halloween Party have been sold out. I just saw that this morning.
It's crazy.
Featuring Disney characters, the separate ticket event, Mickey's Halloween Party, will return this year featuring Disney characters in Halloween attire, trick-or-treating at locations throughout Disneyland, and a chance for families to visit the park after hours in costume. And yes, we are going in costume. Guests with a Mickey's Halloween Party ticket will start at $105 and will be able to access the park for 3 hours prior to the event start time and be admitted to both Disneyland and Disney California Adventure parks. Nighttime events will include a fireworks show, Halloween screams, and the Frightfully Fun Parade led by the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow down Main Street, USA. At Disney California Adventure Parks, Cars Land, Radiator Springs will return into Radiator Screams. You know, I love a good Halloween pun. As the residents of Radiator Springs, such as Lightning McQueen and Mater, don Halloween costumes and decorate their respective homes for the season. Mater's Junkyard Jamboree will become Mater's Graveyard Jamboree. And Luigi's Rollick and Roadsters will transform into Luigi's Honkin' Hall, H-A-U-L-O-E. Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout will turn into Guardians of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark, with a Halloween overlay featuring lighting effects. New Halloween-themed eats, along with the return of many popular items at Disney California Adventure Park, include the Spooky Cone Macaron, filled with marshmallow, buttercream, and candy corn. Actually, that looks really good. I've been watching a vlog about it the other day. The Headless Horseman Cupcake and Chocolate Bat Cookie. At Disneyland Park, Main Street, USA, will feature a giant Mickey jack-o'-lantern and a pumpkin festival. Haunted Mansion, this is David's favorite event, Haunted Mansion Holiday. Haunted Mansion becomes Haunted Mansion Holiday, inspired by the Nightmare Before Christmas, while Space Mountain and Tomorrowland become Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy. To commemorate the Mexican holiday Day of the Dead, a Dia de los Muertos tribute at Frontierland will feature a musical trio of skeleton figurines, brightly colored flowers, and other decorative items. David, tell us again how you're wrong about Haunted Mansion.
I'm wrong about a lot of things. Oh, I actually love the Haunted Mansion overlay.
Oh, okay.
Nightmare Before Christmas. I do like it a lot. And I love the Cars Land overlay.
The Cars Land one is fun.
I think the idea is great. I wish what they would do is have nothing else at DCA that was Halloween except maybe Cars Land. I don't like it when the whole park, like when they make Disneyland look like Christmas for the next 6 months. I can't.
The day after Halloween, yes.
Yeah, and they started Halloween, what, September 6th? It's like,
yeah. In Florida, it started sooner. It started like in August.
It shouldn't start before October 1st. There's no reason why. It can just be Disneyland's a pretty nice park. You can just leave
the
it alone for a month.
The reason is for people to save money on their tickets that want to go early to this stuff.
That doesn't work for me. There's no way that Disney's doing anything to save somebody money.
But people do, you know, they want to go, you know, they're want to go to a Halloween themed event, but they're here from out of town or.
Well, then come back in October.
Okay.
That's not, don't ruin my park because you can't plan better. That's, is that harsh?
A little bit.
It's a little, but you know, I'm a mean professor.
I'm sorry, as Southern California residents and pass holders get really protective over our theme parks.
Well, I just read an article that, you know, it was about 50% split between, you know, the article was basically saying stop starting Halloween in August.
Yes.
You know, stop putting these, you know, decorations up when it's still 90 degrees outside. It's still 90 degrees in October sometimes, but I mean, like, we haven't even gotten a chance to mourn summer yet. And, you know, summer's body's not even cold. And here, you know, here come the Mickey jack-o'-lanterns and all that stuff. And it kind of ruins, like you said, there was about 50% of the people that say, you know, let the park just be the park for a month and that's okay. But there's other people that say, like, no, I love the decorations. I love the Halloween parties. We haven't been to the Disneyland Halloween party in a couple of years. And so we are actually, so stay tuned to our Instagram and our YouTube to figure out, you know, find out what we're doing for our Halloween costumes. But the Disneyland party is actually a lot of fun. They just changed the parade. The parade is new, I believe, like in the last couple of years, and the parade used to not be very good, but you know, that's improved. And so a lot of people enjoy going to the park when it's less crowded, and you know, they put lights and all kinds of different things on there,
which is fine. Just do it in October.
Right.
I mean, and then because literally from September until mid-January, the park's going to look weird. It's going to have Halloween stuff or Christmas stuff. It's not going to look like regular Disneyland till after Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah. And maybe not even then.
Yeah.
Christmas stuff is still up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, they keep it up too long.
All right. Are you guys ready to hear about the food for California Adventure and Disneyland this year? Okay, so Halloween-inspired food items. Here's a few of them. They have the Mummy Donut, which is a croissant donut eclair. It's kind of cronut. Fried until the edges are crispy and stuffed with creamy peanut butter filling and dabs of jelly on each side. Its sides are angled like a coffin, and the top is coated with gray vanilla frosting, etched with white icing drizzle, and crowned with two sugar eyes. You can find it at Schmoozie's, which we couldn't believe is still open. It's a leftover from opening day at California Adventure. Schmoozie's in Hollywood at California Adventure, and you can buy it for $5.49. Also available as a churro sundae, which looked delicious. Crispy, warm cinnamon sugar, dusted churros protrude from a mountain of cookie dough ice cream crammed into a 16-ounce cup, striped with pumpkin spice sauce, topped with cajeta, which I have no idea what that is, and whipped cream. You can find it at the Golden Horseshoe in Frontierland at Disneyland Park, and you can buy it for $7.49.
I have some friends who bought that and showed pictures of it, and it looked delicious, and they said it was amazing.
It looks really good, so I'm actually looking forward to getting that. Number three, the Mickey Mummy Macaron, which I had and I enjoyed. My wife did not. Last year, the Mummy Macaron was faceless, but this year it's Mickey Mouse themed. In addition to Mickey's face, that is the macaron. It now contains a cookies and cream filling, which I really enjoyed. My wife thought it was a little bit too sweet. And cream filling that's light gray in contrast to the bandaged cookie. You can find it at the Jolly Holiday Bakery Cafe on Main Street in Disneyland, and you can buy it for $5.99. The Halloween hot dog. And see, I'm going to read the description of this, and you guys tell me if anything in this description screams Halloween. This is a hot dog with spicy meatballs, cheese sauce, and oven-roasted tomatoes.
Spicy meatballs with like gooey, bloody look to it, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry, they're putting meatballs on a hot dog?
Yeah, it's a hot dog with spicy meatballs, cheese sauce, and oven-roasted tomatoes. And the cheese sauce is on top.
It's a meatball sandwich with a hot dog?
Yes.
Okay.
That's whoever invented that might just be my new best friend.
Or really stoned.
Or also my new best friend too.
It sounds great, right? I'm going to try this when we go. Nothing about it says Halloween to me.
Like, well, except for the name of it.
I bet they gotta make it look Halloween.
Yeah, it looks like a maple hot dog.
If anyone is traveling to California from another state and plans on trying these foods, just remember, weed is legal here. But you can't smoke it in public. Bring your edibles.
And you can't take it to the airport. Yep.
Oh, yes. Do not try to fly home with it.
All right.
Smuggle it home in your belly.
Finally, we're going to get to the sweet potato hand pie, which looks disgusting, but I'm going to try it nonetheless. It's a Pop-Tart-ish kind of thing, but the unusual and soulful treat is much more sophisticated. Buttery, flaky dough, sweet potato filling, orange-colored vanilla glaze, and my personal favorite, toasted marshmallows. You can find this at the Jolly Holiday Bakery Cafe on Main Street in Disneyland and buy it for $4.99. Did that sound good to anybody?
I'm hungry, so all of this. I'm still thinking about Earl of Sandwich, to be quite honest.
I'm just actually still like, is it a meatball sub with a hot dog on it, or is it a hot dog with a meatball on it?
It's no, so it is a it is a hot dog in a like not a brioche bun, but it's in a sort of like a French roll bun. So it's a
hot dog. It's a meatball sandwich with a hot dog,
right? Brandy's fixated on meatball sub. All right, at the resort hotels, you can enjoy the spooktacular seasonal decor. In the lobby of Disney's Grand California Hotel and Spa is an edible display. Speaking of edibles, an edible display of Halloween pumpkins. These pumpkins take a ghoulish form with Oogie Boogie and are built from cereal treats, icing, chocolate, and fondant. Their talented pastry chefs use over 200 pounds of icing, 100 pounds of chocolate, and 300 pounds of fondant to create the incredible pumpkins. Guests are challenged to see if they can find the 13 hidden Mickeys throughout the display. There is also exclusive trick-or-treating for Halloween guests on select afternoons from October 2nd through October 31st. Overnight guests, so not just walking in off the street, guests of the Disneyland Hotel Resorts, hotels of the Disneyland Resort are invited to drop in for a good time and exclusive complimentary trick-or-treating festivities. Together, Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa and the Disneyland Hotel and Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel will have a treat map of locations. You can visit all three hotels. The hotels are offering activities such as coloring pages, bat mask decorating, and create your own pirate hat. So that's a little something for people that are staying at the resort hotels. SeaWorld San Diego, San Diego's favorite Halloween event for families, returns. You can enjoy fun Halloween activities and trick or treat for candy and goodies throughout the colorfully decorated park. Halloween Spooktacular. I feel like I'm getting ripped off here because this is like the third spooktacular reference that I didn't write into here that somebody else is using. Is one of San Diego's biggest fall festivals with weekends brimming with family fun. Get in the spooky spirit and catch popular live shows like Clyde and Seymour's Big Halloween Bash and all the new Sesame Street Halloween Parade characters. They join in on Halloween dance parties and let little ones trick-or-treat throughout the park in a safe, family-friendly environment. They are doing their own Dia de los Muertos event. They can enjoy a special, guests can enjoy a special themed area celebrating Dia de los Muertos. I blame Coco. Here, colorful papel picado, flags, vibrant ofrendas, and large Katrinas will invite guests to learn about this traditional Mexican holiday. No mention that they have Sugar Skull Go-Go dancers that we'll get to eventually. You can also trick-or-treat to your heart's delight and the content and their safety of SeaWorld San Diego. Costumes are encouraged, but no masks are allowed for those over the age of 10. SeaWorld asks that visitors join them in efforts to protect our seas by bringing a reusable bag or Halloween bucket for home for treats. You can pick up a bag at the park for as little as 99 cents at any park gift shop, and when you do that, 5% of each bag purchase will go directly to the SeaWorld and Busch Gardens Conservation Fund. All right, so that is Disneyland and SeaWorld. Again, a lot of good food offerings. There was a whole, I mean, there's like 24, 25 different food offerings at Disneyland this year that all sounded various, you know, degrees of good. Those are the five that I picked that were my favorites. We're going to toss it over to Brandis, and she's going to tell us about Halloween Haunt. But I think last year we may do this on our future show. Last time we did Halloween Spooktacular, we had your favorite tips and tricks for beating the crowds at Halloween Haunt. So I think next time we have a show, we'll do that after we go to the buffet. But for now, what is going on at Halloween Haunt?
Actually, before I jump into Halloween Haunt, I just got breaking news that pertains to our show. Season pass holder Bring a Friend Discount Days returns to Knott's Berry Farm October 1st through 7th. Pass holders can purchase up to 4 discounted admissions of $43 each per day, valid with a 2018 season pass only.
All right.
So that's all the info on that. Like, literally, that's all the info.
That's great.
But people are always asking when it's going to be. And they just announced it.
Okay, great.
So now we could jump back into Halloween. Okay. The fun begins at Camp Snoopy, where riders on the Grand Sierra Railroad will see what the Peanuts gang is doing for Halloween. Then visit the Camp Snoopy Theater for The Monsters Are Coming, Charlie Brown, a show where the audience is invited to join in singing and dancing to classic Halloween songs, and children in costume may also participate in the Peanuts costume contest. Families can meet and take photos with Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the rest of the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy and Calico Park. Children ages 3 through 11 are welcome to trick-or-treat through Ghost Town. Yeah, let's go back and discuss that when we're done here. The stops have now expanded. Oh, good. The stops have now expanded to include Mission Row. Parents may pick up a treat bag and a map for their kids at the main gate. Timber Mountain Log Ride, which is hosting the Halloween Hootenanny, just a bit.
Hootenanny. As a daughter in.
Just a bit scary. Families will swoosh past the Calico Coffin Creeper Band and the Green Witch to the strains of crazy. Of Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies' original seasonal tune before splashing down Skull Mountain into an array of jack-o'-lanterns. That makes it sound like when you get in the bottom, instead of like splashing water, like all these jack-o'-lanterns are going to fly up at you.
I'm really excited about it. Have you gotten to the part about the Calico log ride?
Yeah, we just.
Oh, okay.
We were just.
I'm half listening. I'm really excited about that. I have you been on that before?
Last year, yes.
Is it fun?
It seems, I'm not positive, but it seems like the log ride is moving faster.
Oh.
To like the feel of the music. The music is good. I mean, yeah, it's not scary at all. Our kids were fine. And then it's just the log ride with new music. And
do they do anything for it during actual Halloween Haunt?
You know, we don't go on the rides when we're actually there for the Halloween Haunt normally. So maybe you and John could find out this year.
Oh, take a look at it.
A long time ago, I remember there was like people that would like jump out on some parts of the ride, but then they like stopped doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I remember.
Yeah.
Like, they have people like in the sides that would kind of
they'd be
jump,
like, pop up.
Yeah, they would jump out at you.
Which was super
scary. That would be super fun. They should do that with the...
Do you remember the one time we went and we ran to it? That's why.
Yeah, no,
and then
I know.
They didn't. It was like super...
Long. Yeah, and then we looked dumb running to the log ride.
The line for the log ride is long on a normal day. Can't imagine what it's like in Halloween Haunt.
Yeah, it's a quick line, though, kind of.
Okay. Oh, you know what?
How come they're not calling it Camp Spooky? What's up with that?
I don't know.
Can you get to the bottom?
Like, why are you looking at me?
Sorry.
I'm going to look that up. I want to see
you're
that,
like
that. That might just be a
typo. Accusing me.
Just curious.
Okay, I don't think it's mentioned on here, but is it mentioned... Okay, I don't think it's mentioned on here. So Knott's Berry Farm recently added a virtual reality game that's a lot of fun. And when we watched the preview for Knott's Scary Farm, they are changing it for Knott's Scary Farm. And so I'm really excited about that. It's $12 per person, but it's worth it.
That's exciting. We should do that.
Or is it $6 per person?
It doesn't matter. Worth it.
Either way, it costs a little bit, and it's worth it. It really is.
It's super intense.
We'll totally do it.
Okay.
Because the original one is scary enough.
I'm into it.
They do great with the virtual reality.
Yeah. Let's check it out.
No, we definitely will. Okay.
Okay. I would just answer John's question. It is Knott's Spooky Farm. They are not calling it Camp Spooky.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Knott's Spooky Farm?
Yeah. Knott's Spooky Farm.
Excuse me.
Okay. Okay. So now to the Halloween Haunt. Conjure brings comedy and magic to the Birdcage Theater with performers from Fox's Master of Illusion. Sorry, that was my phone, not me. Conjure brings comedy and magic to the Birdcage Theater with performers from Fox's Masters of Illusion. Dana Daniels is on deck the first weekend. Taylor Hughes will be there for the second weekend. And Chipper Lowell, who was a Scary Farm staple in the 1990s, will take stage for the month of October.
So I want to say that the last time I was at Knott's Scary Farm was the 1990s, because I remember when Chip Wool used to perform there. Then he used to perform over at what used to be Buffalo Bills or Wild Bills, which is now the Pirates Dinner Adventure across the street on Beach Boulevard.
So you haven't been there since the 90s, so you really are looking forward to Saturday.
I really am.
We are going to have so much fun.
I'm so excited about this.
Okay. Improv is coming back to Knott's too with Hacks, Cutting Room Floor, in the Charles M. Schulz Theater. This time, the troupe will improvise dialogue.
Troupe.
Will improvise dialogue from old B horror and sci-fi movie clips And in one skit, they will borrow cell phones from the audience and use their text messages for their lines. Ooh, that then sounds like fun.
I'm borrowing my cell phone.
That sounds kind of cool.
That sounds a lot
they
of...
You borrow your cell phone then.
Oh, they could take my cell phone. My cell phone's all PTA text, though. And then, you know, John asking what I'm doing. The Nautilus shop will become Bizarre Bazaar, the place for your Scary Farm shopping, as well as home to the exclusive Into the Fog, a tribute to Not Scary Farm, or a tribute to Scary Farm, curated by Knott's show producer Eric Nix. The exhibit boasts just under 40 pieces representing 35 artists, including paintings, digital work, sculptures, and more. The buffet dinner will be available again with Mrs. Knott's Fried Chicken, a chef carving station. They really do have good roast beef, guys. Boysenberry pie and more for $31.99 to $36.99. You will enjoy an all-you-can-eat meal, plus receive 2018 souvenir bottle, which gives unlimited complimentary refills on the event night and $1 refills for the rest of the 2018 season. And early entry to...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, we got it last year.
Okay.
It's actually, I'm going to say with the drink, that is a really great deal just because when you're screaming and laughing as much as I am, you get so thirsty and dry mouth. And for some reason, they don't give you lids and straws with the Knott's Berry Farm cups anymore. So this one comes with a lid and you could hook it on your belt loop. And
yeah, like drinks are like $4 each. So
yeah,
that's cool.
No, it's a great deal. Okay. You also get early entry to Paranormal Inc., Trick or Treat Lights Out, Dark Entities and the Depths. Dark Entities and the Depths. You must have a Scary Farm ticket to attend the dinner. Mazes. 7 popular mazes will be returning. Dark Ride, The Red Barn, Paranormal, Pumpkin Eater, Shadowlands, Special Ops Infected, and Trick or Treat Lights Out.
The Lion King joke.
Each one will feature a new twist, tweak, or surprise. I got to move my phone. Sorry. Highlighting the 2 new mazes.
That wasn't your phone. Don't lie.
It was the Sausage McMuffins. Highlighting the 2 new mazes for 2018, Dark Entities, The Depths. So Dark Entities, teleport beyond Earth and into the realm where the darkness is absolute. Ooh, that sounds good. Am I the only one excited about that line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Read it again.
Teleport beyond Earth and into the realm where the darkness is absolute, not the vodka. In the depths of space...
As opposed to relative darkness.
In the depths of space, a lone station faces terror beyond all imagination. An extraterrestrial mutation has invaded the station and it's on the prowl for new hosts. The unearthly inhabitant's force increases as it feeds on its unwilling victims. Escape the dark entities before its deathly force eliminates all living forms abroad the station. There's nowhere to escape. Time is running out. The depths. This is the one I'm excited about. A heavy fog drapes over an abandoned port village where ancient creatures lurk inside the pitch-black underground caves hidden below the seaside shores. The Nightwatch mining crew has mysteriously disappeared, and village rumors point to the eerie tunnels the town sits upon. Myths of the terrifying horrors that lurks within the cave have often been whispered but never confirmed. Did the crew meet their demise at the hands of vicious creatures that live within the cave? Journey into the ominous caverns and follow the crew's path.
You are about to find out.
And follow the crew's path into the depths. Discover if the superstition revolving around the cave is true or not, but be warned. All who have entered have never resurfaced.
That sounds like something OSHA should get involved in, because how can that just sounds like an unsafe workplace. Why would they advertise that?
I'm sorry, but if they would stop rolling back mining codes.
Right? That is just another government overreach.
Clearly not enough government, because there's a lot of dead people that are like, hey, no one's lived. Why don't you go visit? That's just malicious.
Yeah,
see what you can get us out of there.
That way, right? So that was, that one is the one I'm looking forward to.
Yes, that's what we'll go to first.
Yeah.
That it was on the early entry mm-hmm. list. So as soon as it opens, we're hustling.
Yeah.
Because that's what we did with Dark Ride last year.
Yeah. It sounds like the 2 new offerings are the ones that they're promoting for the early entry on the buffet. So
yeah,
we'll do the depths and we'll do what was
and then
the other
you one? Have to do paranormal.
Okay.
Because there's a surprise in it.
Okay.
And They did say they tweaked it, but I'm hoping the surprise is still there because I want to see your reaction.
Yeah,
it's a birthday cake. And
pops out. David pops out of the birthday cake. So yeah, those, I said, what is the one with the flashlights? That one sounds
trick or treat.
Right?
Oh gosh, that one. Yeah, that one's so good. It drives me crazy.
Sounds absolutely terrifying to me.
So like, yeah, it's pitch black, and you get this really dim flashlight.
Yeah, that sounds like. That sounds like my worst nightmare.
So they got me really good last year. So we went twice last year, and the first time it wasn't that scary, and the second time, trick or treat was, I mean, not all and not scary farm. The second time they really got me because there was a little person clown hidden under the bed.
That is creepy.
Like I walk in and it just like slides out at me. It was. And you could barely see, so.
Yeah. The dim, anything dim lights or like flashing light, you know, like Resident Evil lights or, you know, anything that, like, when the lights are going out, I just, nope, I'm out. But I'm going to go do this because that sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, John usually uses me as a shield. You could get behind John. I'll shield up both of you. Both.
We did try to bring Karen and she just flat out said no. She was going. We tried to bribe her into going with us and she just refused because she really doesn't like to get scared. But. All right. Well, thank you guys for all of that. I know that was a lot of information. So I hope you out there find that useful in planning your activities for this Halloween. David, we are going to go around the room and I think we're going to reveal today who is our candidate, who's our winner in the, which one of us auditioned for Knott's Scary Farm and got cast in it. And the winner is, of course, Dr. David Marley.
Thank you. What do I get?
You get to tell us a story.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, I'm just going to let you talk. You tell us. So tell us what prompted you to do it. What was the process like? I don't know if there's some like secret monster code that you're violating, you know, that they're going to come and like.
No, you know? I signed no paperwork.
All right.
Like you'll never scare again.
Right.
He's been blacklisted for many.
It was interesting. I'm not teaching this semester, so my schedule was free. And I always thought it would be fun to go be a scarer. And, my wife really encouraged me to do it. She's like, you should do it. You're not going to have this free time again. Go ahead and do it. And, so I went and, they had like a whole week of interviews or where you could apply, but I found out you have to go the first day because the week before they hire all the people that worked there before. And it's like 80 to 90% of the people that work there are rehires. So there aren't a lot of job openings. And so I picked an early slot that first day and there were hundreds of people there waiting to interview. And
I know there's a huge, I mean, literal monster community out there that people that are in to being scare actors. They're huge. There's a community. They get together. They all know each other. It's just, you know, it's just really weird. It's almost like it's a weird Jungle Cruise skipper. You know, it's like the way Jungle Cruise skippers are all sort of tied in together.
But not nearly as cool. That's right. Mm-hmm. But I saw that while I was waiting in line. You saw people that were working there walking by the line. Hey, Bill, you're coming back. And they would run over and say hi. And so it seemed like a real community of people that were only had jobs once a year. And so I went through the first. Oh, go ahead.
There's also this weird division. Like there's scare monsters. And then there's, I don't know if you picked up on that. Like the scare monsters are, you know, think that they're separate from the sliders and people that are just in these different factions of being.
There's
haunt monsters have these different, you know,
maze people and free roaming people and.
Do the sliders own their own knee pads or does Knott's provide them?
I think that Knott's provides them, but I think as you progress in being a slider, like you make your own, like you start, a lot of them make their own costumes. And they create their own characters. So it's not just like one, you know, that's the one guy that's out there sliding. Like it's a whole process that they, you know, internally that they go through after a few years that they start, they create a costume or they create a character or a look. And then that's their character every year that they go with.
Yeah. Yeah. They really wanted you to have like a character, developed. And I'd come up with one for the clown area. I forget what that's called.
On the boardwalk.
Yeah, like a carnival or something.
Yeah.
I think they changed that when they opened Dark Ride last year, but I could be wrong on that.
Okay. So But you go through that whole process, and if they approve you, then you go on to your audition. And I saw a bunch of people did not get approved even for that part, which I thought was weird because it was like, you're breathing? All right, go ahead. And so they sent you in groups of eight. And you can see some of these videos on YouTube, but you would go in groups of eight, and they would have you like walk like a zombie and pretend to do this and that, and then they'd call you forward.
Picture a lot of like doctors and lawyers and, you know, people with professional jobs going in and just like, this is their one.
No, it was clearly a lot of people in their early 20s. And I actually ran into a couple of people I knew who work at Disneyland who wanted to work at the Haunt, and they were going to do both jobs. So they were going to try to work at Disneyland and at Not Scary Farm, which to me sounds crazy. And some people that clearly look unemployable. If I could just be honest, and I'm among those, because right, I'm not teaching this semester. So you go in for the audition, and like the they had a group go in, and they go, well, they'll call you back in if they want you to have an individual audition. So the group ahead of us went in, and they sent everybody out and didn't call a single person back. And we're like, maybe they're full. And so they called my group in, and the group before that, they brought in like two or three. They had them come back in. And so the group right ahead of me, nobody was called back in. And in my group, I was the only one called back in. And to be honest, I'm 90% sure it's because I'm huge.
Yeah, I'm going to say that you're tall. And you can
I'm 6'4 and like 220. So yeah. I was like a full head taller than anyone else in my group. Yeah. And so I'm doing the audition. I'm like, this is kind of fun. And my wife teaches theater. So I'm texting her and she's giving me pointers because I am literally the world's worst actor. I can make Keanu Reeves look like Ian McKellen. I mean, I'm that.
Truth telling story time. I've seen it. It's true.
It is horrific.
He's not that bad of an actor.
I'm
just kidding.
Here's what I did wrong, and how I got the job anyway. So they call me in for the individual thing, and they wanted me to be like a drill sergeant and start yelling and doing like mean things. And halfway through it, I thought, I don't want to do this. I'm not
getting excited because what maze that is for.
I like going boo and scaring people. Like I'll do it to my daughters in like a fun way, but they wanted me to be like angry and yell and scream and like threaten. And I'm like, I don't feel like, and in my head, I'm like, I'm not a new age person. I'm not all hippy dippy, but I thought I don't want to bring that much negative energy into my life and I don't want to have to behave like that.
But
so
it's to save people's lives, that maze.
Oh, well, they didn't tell me. They just wanted me to be screaming and yelling. And so they're like, be a drill sergeant. So I did something. This one lady goes, I don't believe you. I'm like, I don't care what you believe. And when I said that, one of the guys smirked. So I cracked a joke and they laughed. And then the one guy goes, you know, you're trying to scare us. You should not be trying to make us laugh. So then I did another joke because I knew I had him going. And he laughed again. And I went, I've just screwed up this whole thing. And so they called me out and they're like, hey, we'd like to offer you this job. And we want you to be this guy. But they sent me right to fill out paperwork. And they sent me to costuming. It was like, done, done, done. You're in. And like they went and fitted me for clothes and everything. But the whole time, I'm like, I need to think about it because I'm not sure I want to do that. And I ended up deciding not to do it.
Why did you decide not to do it after all?
Two reasons. One, it really was, I didn't want to just be that like negative and like angry and scary all the time. I thought it'd be more like fun scary, not more like they wanted it more angry.
Yeah, they wanted a specific role there.
Yeah, and I really didn't want to put my mind in that place, if that makes sense. Yeah. And the second thing is, my wife pointed out I have I'm trying to finish a couple books and I've been doing some speaking engagements and working on my art on my Etsy store. And she said, instead of doing the Not Scary Farm, why don't you just focus on that? Because you have this one semester off. So
would you have had to work every night?
Every night. I saw the schedule.
That is why I do not try out for that, is because then I couldn't attend.
I thought it was every single night. And I just get some nights, well, here's your schedule. It's Wednesday through Sunday. I'm like, oh, it's not, or Thursday through, I go, it's not every night. Like, no, it's four nights a week. I'm like, oh, that actually was a relief to me.
Yeah.
Never found out how much I got paid. I guess I had to go back and fill out more paperwork, but it was fun to get fitted for the costume and
What was your character? Did they tell you where you were going?
I was
going to
be at the dark ride and I was going to be one of the YouTube videos. If you look at the Knott's Berry Farm, website for dark ride, there's two characters. There's a guy in the background holding a straw hat. That's what they had me fitted out for, was for that guy. And I saw the video. He's one of the first ones that like jumps out and scares people. And I think they wanted to put me in a big mask so I couldn't crack jokes, to be honest. Cause it was my default. I just kept going to, well, comedy. Let's do something funny. Let's do something funny. And they thought, all right, let's put him in a mask. I'll shut him up.
The drill sergeant one, that would be the special ops infected. It's the zombie one. And you're leading people to safety.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't want a young screamer. But the guy that is the manager, the lead of that, is a former Jungle Cruise skipper we both know. Because I was filling out the paperwork with this guy, and I look at this guy, I'm like, I know him somewhere. Because I recognized his, he had a very distinct voice. And he turned, and I'm like, oh my God. I know Jungle Cruise skippers everywhere. And
everywhere you go.
My daughters were like, everywhere you go, you run into Jungle Cruise skippers, Dad.
Is there a lot? There's a lot of you guys, isn't there?
Yeah, we get fired a lot, so there's a high turnover skippers. But we're everywhere.
Why do you guys get fired?
But it was fun. It was fun to audition and fun to do it. And then I realized I would do it maybe if it was more of a positive scaring thing. They wanted me to be.
I don't know that that's a thing. Like I don't.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Is that like maybe scary yoga or something? Like,
yeah.
Well, there's people that jumping around a turn and just being like, oh, you know, or there's like. Having a speaking role, which is different.
Well, you're just like, right? And it was like so angry, and they wanted me to be like angrier and meaner and more threatening. And I'm like, I'm a big guy, but I don't like acting like that. Maybe it's because my wife says, because I am a big guy, I don't have to act like that. I don't have to be big because I just walked in the door. They're like, oh crap, here we go. Like, there's a story in my first Skipper Stories book about I scared the crap out of some angry guest that was threatening to beat up another guy. And the lead called me over to, and I came over with my smile, and the guy put his hands up. Are you going to kick my ass? Oh, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. I'm like, and I looked behind me. I'm like, who's he thinking of? My friend, it was Brent, our lead. He's like, man, you scared the hell out of that guy. I'm like, I didn't even do anything. And so it was a fun experience.
Hey, buddy.
But he did. He threw his hands up in the air and was backing up like he was terrified of me. And I just had my big dopey grin on.
So. I don't have that problem.
So I thought if I'm free next fall, I might go try it again, and really go in, hit him with the character. But I found out it was difficult because so many people, rehire that they don't really accept a lot of new people. And they kept warning us that the odds of you getting a job are slim because they don't do a lot of rehire, or they do so much rehiring.
That's funny just because the newspapers make such a big deal about the auditions every year.
I found out that's their publicity stunt. So they make a big deal about it. Come on down. But 80% of the jobs are already taken. Oh. Like, you know, the jobs you really want, the fun scare, the sliders, the guys that run around Ghost Town, those are already taken.
I just want to say, if anybody works at Not Scary Farm and you're listening, your girl characters out in the scare zones really need to work on, like, they all do the same head tilt, face stare, and get in front of you. And it's like, that's not scary. That's annoying. Get out of my face.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I should have brought this. I got the official manual of like a code of conduct and whatnot of like how to behave at the scare thing. And it's in print. It's like things you can't say. And it's like, you know, no racial slurs, no openly suggestive thing, sexual things. And one of them says no positive references to the KKK. It's like five or six things are vague. Like don't be a jerk. Don't be this. Don't be that. Don't praise the KKK. And I'm like, that was
all right. So you know,
deliberately
my,
put there for
yeah.
A reason.
You know my theory about stuff like that, and so, you know,
I was talking about something like that yesterday.
But it was I'll print it out and bring it because it was so. Why would you specifically mention
Southern California though?
Evidently, we have the KKK.
Well, again, I feel like it's one of those like when you see an oddly specific sign or you see an oddly specific disclaimer at
like,
the end of a
don't
commercial.
Don't iron while wearing.
Right. You know that that's because somebody has done it and sued and said, well, nobody told me not to. So
and it was the end of a list of very vague things like, you know, don't swear. Don't say anything racially insensitive. Don't say anything sexually suggestive. Do not praise the KKK.
Again, someone at some point made them write that in the manual.
Was there any other things like telling you about how to like when people get too scared or was there anything else in there like? Kind of like
oh, yeah. Is there like a guide for panic attacks?
No, but there was a scare school. I didn't go to that.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole evening of where they...
Okay, just because somebody told me a story of her teenage son having a panic attack in the maze.
Uh-huh.
And she like just grabbed like the first monster that jumped out. She's like, we need to get out of here now. And they said that like the lights come on and the monsters are suddenly super nice. And like, okay, let's go follow me this way. So,
wow. That's cool.
How long was the process?
I'm totally going to do that when we go there.
It was, Deb, how long was that process? I started it at 10 and I left by like 1:30. It took forever, but that includes getting the costume fitting and the paperwork and it was.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And when they finally cast me and they put me in the room, there were a couple different like mazes or whatever I could have gone to. And they were like, we got another tall one. Like that's how they were categorizing people. Mm-hmm. So they were excited. One guy's like, oh no, I got all my tall guys. Like one place was full of tall men.
We clearly had enough.
So if you're a giant, there's
Yeah.
Evidently, 6'4 was giant enough.
So basically, you were hired based on your male privilege.
No, on my height privilege. Height privilege. Because I'm pretty sure my daughters could get jobs there because they're like 5'10. Of course, they're children, but still. Yeah, walking in, a lot of the guys were like 5'6", 5'7", and they were little. And they're like, well, I'm little, so I do this or that. And they looked at me, and they're like, yeah, he's going to get a job. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Anything else you want to add? Anything? Any final thoughts on the whole process there?
And it was fun. And I thought, all right, maybe I'll go do it next year. I don't have so many other things going on. But it seemed like fun. And what I liked about it was it seemed like it was a real, like Brandis said, a real community of people that were like friendly and got along, which I thought sounded cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you. Guys, have any more questions for David about the process and about getting hired in? All right.
No positive comments about the Klan. Thank you.
That's it.
That's very important.
I would see. Now I want to make that the title of the episode.
I think I'm going to ask the monsters this year what their opinion is on the KKK.
There's a dollar in it for you if you do it. Dollar. A crisp dollar.
I'm going to be like looking over my shoulder though before I do, like, oh, nobody could see me. We're on a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Again, thank you for sharing that with us. That's really fascinating. I'm hoping to get a couple of other friends of ours that we know that have actually been monsters and have actually worked at a lot of the haunt events and get an interview with them before Halloween time is over. So now it is time to move on to corrections and retractions. All right. So corrections and retractions goes back to our story on the RIP tours for Universal Halloween Horror Nights. 2 weeks ago, or the last show that we did, we said that the tour with the ticket included was $150. Yeah, that's not true. That's not true at all. So Universal Halloween Horror Nights Rest in Peace or RIP tours are priced at $309 to $409 per person, depending on when you visit, not the 150 we previously reported. Corrections and retractions. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram, VL Podcast, our Twitter account, at Vacationland Show, and our email, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us today. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, David. On behalf of all of us, thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacationland. We'll see you next time. Happy Halloween.